if you're a visitor here. I'll be transparent with you. We're not perfect. We're just trying to serve God. And we're going to make mistakes, but with God's mercy and grace and a little bit of work on our part to learn about what's right, hopefully we're on that path towards salvation, and that's really the goal that we have. That's our only goal, is serving God. The fact that you're here this morning is a testament to your love for God and your dedication. So thank you for spending your morning here with us, and I hope I will make this worth your while. Jeff Clark wanted to preach this morning, as he always does. I was talking to his son, John Clark, in the back, and I said, well, I got to tell a Jeff story. So back when we were younger, we played a lot of football, and I remember distinctly sliding in for a touchdown. It was a real muddy field, and we were all rejoicing, and yeah. Jeff comes running over from about 50 yards away. He goes, yeah, I think your knee touched the ground before you got across the goal. we counted the touchdown anyway, but Jeff is a fighter, man. He is a competitive dude, and I've always appreciated that about Jeff. So tell your dad. He's in our thoughts and our prayers, as are a number of people in our congregation who are going through a lot of struggles in their life. That's kind of the motivation for this sermon, Cindy, is the obstacles that we go through, right? And, you know, we often, and I question, well, why, Lord? Why am I going through this? Why do I have to face this challenge? And these are good questions. I'll try to address that a little bit as we go through the lesson this morning. As we read, Isaiah 41:13 says, I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. So no matter what we're going through, recognize that the Lord is with us always. And oftentimes, that's the only comfort that we really have in a really tough time is, all right, the Lord's with me. Somehow, some way, I'm going to get through whatever it is that I'm going through. A lot of obstacles. I don't think I'm alone. We all have our journey to go through, and there's different things in our life that come before us and we struggle with. You know, and what I'm reminded of is kind of this type of phrase that says, if you can find a path with no obstacles, it probably doesn't lead to anywhere. Now, I don't know who Frank Clark is. I don't think he's the guy on the Seahawks, but I do appreciate that that passage. And, you know, life, while sometimes it is a struggle, but it's kind of the, think about, you go on a hike. Well, some of these hikes are difficult, but the fact that you accomplished it, the fact that you overcame, you know, whatever you had to cross, makes it worth the journey. And I think that's really kind of a testament to our lives. Our lives, aren't boring. Our lives do have struggles, but when we overcome and when we do succeed, it's worth it. You know, when we see our kids succeed, it's worth it. And our grandkids, when you see them doing good, it's worth it. Some of them can be really challenging from time to time. I say that because I do have grandkids in here. So the lady that you see on the right there, her name is Alma Watson, who later became Alma Palmer, my mom. And that's her and her sister, Erlene, when they were little kids. And I bring this up only just to give you a little bit of history. They were farm girls in South Dakota, you know, and they had it tough. It was really cold in the winter. And mom told me stories about when her and her sister left the little one-room schoolhouse. They really did have those and were walking home from school. And, of course, then you didn't have weather reports and all, and a blizzard set in and it whited out, and they got lost. And, honestly, a lot of kids, school kids, sometimes did get lost and never made it home. So they could hear her dad out on the tractor yelling for them, but it was white out. They couldn't find them, and they found a fence row. And they go, oh, I know where I am now. And they managed to follow that fence and get home. So times were kind of tough. I mean, they were kids, and they had a lot of fun. growing up on the farm, but it was tough, a lot of obstacles to go through. So this is my mom later on in life, and I'm the middle boy. Yeah. Yeah, and I know you're all thinking, I feel so sorry for your mom. But honestly, when we would fall down, mom was pretty much the, hey, brush it off, kid. You know, she wasn't a whole lot of, I mean, she toughened us up. She knew that going through life, we were going to go through issues. We were going to have challenges, and she had to kind of toughen us up. You know, and my dad there on the left, he also was a farm boy in South Dakota. And Dad taught me that if you got bullied at school by some kid, you tried to make peace with the kid, and if he just wouldn't stop, then you doubled up your fist and you hit him right in the nose. And you might lose that fight. But he said, I guarantee you, he won't bully you anymore. So it pretty well worked, except with my older brother, and we fought all the time. later on in life, and poor Jenny's not here, but there was a little boy that, about 4 years old, Sharon will remember this story. She'd bring Jenny over, and this little Billy or whatever his name was, he would slap Jenny and push her down and just make her cry, and his mom would go, oh, he's just showing you his love. So I told Jenny, I said, you double up your fist. And they're like 4 year old. And next time he does that, you punch him in the nose. So next time they went over there, sure enough, little Billy pushed Jenny down. She hopped up and punched him right in the nose. And he went crying to his mom. And I told Sharon, well, she was just showing him a little love, you know. So we're taught by our parents to kind of be tough. I mean, I guess we need that. I think the Lord teaches us we got to be tough. You know, the fact that we go through struggles, then it reminds me, just because we're Christians doesn't mean, and God never said, you're not going to go through challenges in your life. I mean, think about it. You know, Joseph was sold by his brothers. And then later on, he was put in prison for doing what was right, fleeing Potiphar's wife, and on we could go with these kinds of stories. But throughout the Bible, it's kind of when you think about it in this regard, throughout the Bible, it's a continuation of stories of people overcoming obstacles in their lives and overcoming tough times. And those that prevailed were blessed by God. And I think that's overriding. It's got to be the lesson for us, isn't it? We can't quit. We can't give up just because we're going through things in our lives. Later on, Moses, for example, poor little kid, was put in a basket and floated down the Nile River. That's kind of an obstacle. But somehow God watched over him, didn't he? Later on, Moses pleads with Pharaoh, let my people go. Pharaoh says, I'm going to make the work harder for the men so they keep working and pay no attention to lies. So they went, you know, the whole Israelite nation was going through very, very tough times. Very many obstacles. They prevailed. And Moses wouldn't stop asking Pharaoh to let his people go. Think about Jesus. Matthew 26:39. Going a little farther, he fell to his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Jesus, the Son of God, came to this earth. Did he, think about it, did he have a cakewalk? The opposite. I mean, yeah, many times people just followed Jesus everywhere and loved him. But there were so many people that stood in his way, entire groups of people. And ultimately, Jesus went to the cross for us. He faced that challenge because he loved us. And so when we face obstacles, always think about, well, Jesus came to this earth and he stood up for me and he gave his life for me. So I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to be that person that relents to the evil around me. The apostles, just like my mom warned me and my dad, you know, there's going to be stuff that you're going to have to go through in life. Jesus told his apostles, you'll be ignored, flogged, arrested. Now, a lot of people would quit. They'd say, I'm not going through that. I think Jesus also told them very clearly, it'll be worth it. And that's a lesson for us. Our faith, when it prevails, when we fought that good fight, it's worth it. There's a heaven awaiting us. Later on, Peter, for example, he declared, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And all the disciples said the same. Sounds kind of like, and honestly, I can relate to Peter and the other disciples, can't you? Oh, Lord, not me. I will never do that. I will never disown you, or I'll never embarrass you. Only, you know, a day later or whatever to do something stupid, you know. There's obstacles that come up to us in our lives, and sometimes we trip over them and stumble. But we got to get up, and we got to move on, and we got to do better. We're told to do that. Don't quit. Face your obstacles. Face the challenges in your life. Move on. And I'll tell you, there's people in this congregation who have amazed me to no end. Jeff's one of them. Karen, Keith, Matt. Absolutely amazing. The obstacles that they're going through, and I don't pretend to walk in their shoes. I don't. But I see them and the faith and the conviction that they have, and I think the whole congregation is built up by their steadfastness and unwillingness to quit. So God bless these people. There are many obstacles in life. Here's a list. I'm not going to go through the whole encyclopedia of obstacles. I will talk about a few of them. Oppression, for example. What is oppression? It's when somebody who's in control treats someone unjustly. We studied this a little bit in the teen class this morning. And there's all kinds of examples. This is one of them. There was a time when women couldn't vote. Now, why? Because the guys in control didn't want women to vote. That was the only reason. Really, unjust control over that. Now, honestly, I would prefer that. I'm glad this is over with, because otherwise I would have to hear Sharon telling me, well, you voted that guy in, you know. So that's your fault. How about segregation? I grew up in Arkansas for a while as a kid, so I saw this firsthand. I didn't understand it that much. I knew that the Blacks had their school and we had our school. I knew that there were separate, we had separate swimming pools. I knew that we had separate drinking fountains. I knew that there were different, I never rode the bus, but I knew there were different parts on the bus where blacks and whites could ride. I knew there were restaurants that wouldn't serve. And this is the United States of America. So honestly, I mean, we've made great progress, since the 60s. But there was a time when, I have heard people say, well, segregation's not bad. Maybe there's a definition that where that might fit. I do know that the schools that the blacks went to were not nearly the same standard as the school I went to. That's the problem with it. It's when, you know, those people were not being treated equally or fairly. Remember the golden rule: treat other people the way you want to be treated. Love your neighbor. We're kind of violating that, you know, in many ways. Different churches, black church and a white church. Is that bad or good? Or does it matter? It was kind of a mindset, really. I mean, the Civil War was a long time ago. And, you know, there's probably, really, I guess in a broader sense, like when it's a different language, maybe there's a Korean church. Okay, well, they speak in a different language. And so good for them. You know, they have a church where they can communicate and understand God's word. It's just when we force this on people where it becomes bad. Okay? Unjust control. These are obstacles that people put in front of people that we should, that really is not in the scriptures as I see it. Oppression, Native Americans. I'm part Native American, a little bit. My mom was a quarter and my grandma was half. I remember asking my grandma, well, What tribe? She said, I don't know. Dad never would claim to be a Native American. And because they were oppressed, and he didn't want to be identified. He wouldn't identify as a Native American. She also said, nobody ever did nothing to me, so she just didn't. From that regard, she just didn't care. Think about, though, some of the things that happened to Native Americans. Their kids were often taken from them. They were told, you no longer speak in your language. You no longer sing your songs. We're going to take you and put you in a reservation and take you to a boarding school, take you away from your parents. These things, you know, shouldn't never happen, but they did. These are obstacles put in front of people. Now, when things like this happen, I mean, a lot of these kids turned out fine. They actually, some of them, there's good stories and bad stories. I'll just say that. Sometimes it worked out just fine. Other times it didn't. But the fact is, when we force ourselves unjustly on another person, whether you're the boss or whatever situation it is, you're an obstacle to that person. Jesus teaches us not to be a stumbling block, not to be an obstacle to other people. The Japanese, back in World War II. Do you know where this is? It's a Collet Fairground. It was an internment camp for Japanese back in World War II. You know? I mean, so obstacles happen in life. Are we told to give up, to quit? I mean, throughout history, you know, God teaches us just be strong, just remain steadfast and faithful. You're going to be okay. Martin Luther King said, when we allow freedom to ring, when we let it ring from every city, every hamlet, from every state, and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join in hands and sing the words of the old Negro spiritual, free at last, great God Almighty, we are free at last. So, when a great civil rights activist of our country relied on the Bible for his message of fairness and equality and freedom. And we should too. So let's look at God's wisdom, oppressions throughout the Bible. Psalms 9:9 says, the Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. So we're told to rely on the Lord when things are difficult, when you're being held down, maybe you're not being treated fairly at work, whatever your situation is, the Lord is a refuge for the oppressed. So go to him in these tough times. Isaiah said in chapter 1, stop doing wrong, learn to do right, seek justice, encourage the oppressed, defend the cause of the fatherless, plead the case of the widow. Too often people will holds someone down. We were reading in James this morning, actually, where James chastises those who are rich and getting richer, who weren't even paying their hired hands. They were shorting them. And he's saying, woe to them, you know, that should not be. So we as Christians need to treat people fairly and justly. Defend the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. Obstacles. Addictions. Big problem, little problem. Getting better, getting worse. Probably worse. What is it? And I think some of it has to do with... It's an interesting phenomenon. The easier we have it, oftentimes the less spiritual we are. The richer we are, the more difficult it is for us to just rely on God. We're living in Easy Street. And so where we ought to be serving God, you know, with all our heart, soul, and strength, we're suddenly just caught up in the pleasures of the world. Addictions certainly are part of that. You see it all the time. The streets of Seattle are choked full of people who have relented to their addiction and led to a really, really difficult life. John 8:34 says, Jesus answered them, truly I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. So the real story, the real truth from the Bible is, if you're relying on alcohol and drugs and addictions like that for your happiness, you become a slave to that. Mm-hmm. And that's the truth, and that's why you see people have really ruin their lives, their families, their lost jobs, and so on. Some of these are self-inflicted obstacles that we put before us, and they're tough. I ask myself, and I don't know if I'm able to give a solid answer. Is there a difference between obstacles in our life that we are not kind of our fault versus self-inflicted obstacles like addictions? Does God see that differently? And in some ways, I would say no, in the sense that whatever that obstacle is, we're still expected to overcome it. We're still expected to meet that challenge head on, and God loves us. Fundamentally, God loves us. We have to always remember that. It's not like he's going to punish you necessarily for the sake of punishment. The discipline we get is so that we can do better. We can improve. We can change. If you believe the world that says, you can't change, that's a lie. People change. People stop. People can do better. And so don't believe the lie that, well, that's just who you are. You can do better. I can do better. Challenge yourself to do better, because God expects us to. I mean, that's a whole part of being a Christian, right? You're doing better. You're not in the world doing what the world does. You're doing better. You're not that guy, right? God's wisdom. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. No longer to the pattern of the world. Do better. John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. Being a Christian is the life. That is the life. Anything else is not. Let's talk about health. Don't you wish you're, I don't know, do you wish you're 4 or 5 again? Kind of fun. I mean, there's a yes and a no, okay, because I don't know. Yeah, it would be fun for a few days. I don't know. But they have health and they think, we're going to live forever. They're carefree. It's like, I mean, other than they fall down once in a while, whatever. I mean, typically, right? Some kids are born with health issues, and Lord be with them for sure. 2 Corinthians. You know, the thing is, this is, again, I'm reminded, obstacles that we're going through in life, the apostles went through these. These were Christ's closest friends. Paul said, keep me from being conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations. There was given to me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. So he had an illness. And he said, 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Do we fully understand the answer that God gave Paul? I kind of get it, and I kind of don't. I mean, why wouldn't you let Paul keep preaching forever? The answer was, my power is made perfect in weakness. He somehow knew Paul was going to be more effective, more powerful through what he was going through. Maybe, and this is maybe a good lesson for us, the obstacles that we're going through, maybe they're going to make us stronger and better people, more spiritual. And it's a hard lesson. It is, isn't it? But it's so true. 2 Corinthians. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. It's overcoming. It's overcoming. It's about overcoming these problems in our lives. That's what makes us strong. That's why our folks told us to get up, brush it off. God tells us, get up, do better. Forget about yesterday. Think about tomorrow. Forget about being sick. Think about what you can do today. Jeff wanted to preach this morning. Not thinking about being sick. He wanted to preach the word. When he is weak, it's through his weaknesses he is strong. Jeff's a strong dude. I mean, really, you know, really humbling, really, to see the effort put in by the people of this congregation. Amen. There's a guy crossing over a river. I guess you could choose to just stay on one side, right? Oh, I don't know if I can do it. You know, and that's the fear that I guess the devil puts in us. Oh, I might fail. Oh, I might fall. I might not be able to do it. Man asked Jesus in Mark 9:22-24, if you can, take pity on us and help us. If you can, Jesus said, that's exactly what Jesus said. If you can, said Jesus, everything is possible to him who believes. Immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. You believe, believe more. You have faith, have more faith. Trust God, and you will overcome your obstacles. We shall overcome. John 16:33. I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. Take heart. I have overcome the world. Is Jesus telling us how to overcome our obstacles? Yeah. He didn't leave us alone. He didn't leave us to flounder. First off, he gave us his word. We just have to have the faith to believe it. Yeah. Romans 12:18-21. Live at peace with everyone. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You're going to see unfairness in the world. It's just, there's some bad things that happen in the world, and they should never happen. But they do. We're just told to overcome evil by doing good. Overcome. See, this is about succeeding, isn't it? Not about giving up. Overcoming the problems we have. Amen. Revelation. We shall overcome. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. Amen. We will overcome. We're going to go through tough times. We will. They kind of go on a scale of 1 to 10, and I kind of hope for the 1s, but I don't have a choice in that, do I? But I want to overcome. I'm not going to quit. Karen Bartle, I look back on the scripture what she sent me a few weeks ago, to come together and edify, one another as we sing praises to our loving Lord who answers our prayers. Karen's gone through a world of issues, health issues, right? I never see her complain. She overcomes. Psalm 63:2-5. I've seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory, because your love is better than life. Your love is better than life. People, we're not going to live forever. I'm getting to be an older guy then. a lot of you. That's okay. I can't do anything about it, so it better be okay, you know. But my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live. And in your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. And with singing lips, my mouth will praise you. Young people, you think you have obstacles, and you do. But you can overcome your obstacles. Some of you question, oh, should I be a Christian or not? You know, the Ethiopian eunuch, guarantee you that guy had some issues in his life, but when he met Philip, all he said was, look, here's water, why shouldn't I be baptized? And the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. The eunuch overcame his obstacles. And when you overcome your obstacles, when you serve God, you go on your way rejoicing. Amen. In conclusion, I'm just going to remind you what we started with. If you only remember one verse today, remember this. For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Amen. So you're not alone. Your journey is not alone. The church here is here to help you as well. If you have obstacles in your life that you need help with, make that known. If you want to be a Christian, make that known as well as we stand and sing a song of encouragement. Troubles.